Tuesday. Said I woke up to the summer, shining through. Calling all my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
ooh, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh,
and I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. I got the feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got the joy, joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy, joy down in my heart, today, today.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord for joy, joy, joy. Amen, amen, joy. Hallelujah. This is a day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. You ought to rejoice and be glad in it. It's brand new. It says a lot. Amen. What God's intention is for us to go on and succeed. Amen. Praise his holy name. Giving honor to Christ. Amen. The Lord God, Jehovah, and the blessed Holy Ghost. Amen. Who is the keeper and the saver of my life, my deliverer, my teacher, my comfort, my strength. Amen. Hallelujah. To Pastor O, Gerald Overall. Amen. My producer. Amen. His lovely wife, Sheila. Amen. Running for Christ Ministries, my friends at Word of Faith, Great Faith. Amen. Gospel Tabernacle, New Creation Christian Center, and all the people that I've met. Amen. The young folk going up there to school at Michigan. Amen. U of M. And I say, praise the Lord who's ever listening here, now, and after the rapture. Amen. Hallelujah. This is a blessed day, I tell you. You know, you got to count each joy, day with joy, because we are approaching an era that is really beyond our imagination. It is the era that everybody hoped for and dreamed of and wondering why it hasn't happened yet. Well, God got this plan. You have to think on his terms. He thinks trillions of years. There's trillions of years, actually longer than that. The word is called forever. I don't think we really grasp that. I mean, and you know, it's something, amen, to know that we are going to live forever. Hallelujah. But amen, let's go before the throne of grace, a privilege purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, offered us by the Lord God, creator of heaven and earth. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you, praise you. We do bless you. We do honor you. We give you all the glory and honor that is due your holy, righteous name. We thank you, Jesus, for being willing and obedient, for purchasing this opportunity, amen, with the shedding of your blood, the brutal beating that you had to endure, amen, even the death on the cross. And we thank you, Holy Ghost, amen, who was sent to comfort us, strengthen us, teach us, and guide us. Right now, we're asking that you bless us right now with the intelligence of your wisdom. in the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask that you bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will know more what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in the saints, the great and exceeding power you've made available to those of us that submit and obey you. Father God, I ask that you would bless us with the knowledge of your will. Give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we'll be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, we're asking right now that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people and even my own. I want it to be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name I yield. Amen. You know, the more I talk, you know, at first, I spend now the majority of my time on the website when I do go on Facebook. I don't spend hours on there, but the more I talk to people that are just blocked out, atheists, man, these folks, you know, just, they want evidence from God, but see, they can't get any without coming to Christ. Because, see, the thing that you have to remember in relation to everything concerning God is how life really is. And you can have in your imagination what you think it is, but it's really how it really is. And the real deal is, if you're not in the kingdom of God, you're under the kingdom of Satan. And he has say-so about the interactions between you and God if you're not in God's kingdom. It's like, while I'm in the United States as a U.S. citizen, pretty much anywhere I go, I'm under the protection of the U.S. government. And as long as I'm behaving, you know, it doesn't give me the right to go in another country and commit crime, although people seem to be able to do that here. They call it diplomatic immunity. That's dumb. But anyway, I'm protected. And it's the same thing with the kingdom of God. Wherever I go in the United States, you know, the scriptures say we are seated in heavenly places. So where I go, the power of God goes. The same protection I enjoy at home, I enjoy out in the street. But there's a mechanism to that. There's a process to that. It don't just happen. And this is the problem with a lot of Christians and a lot of pastors, is that they just act as though it's automatic despite the evidence that it's not. You know, I'm sure there are lots of questions and angst over the recent death of 19 children in Uvalde, Texas. But understand, there's no freedom of religion in Christianity. It's God's way according to his word or no way at all. The angels will not be in that room. They don't want the destiny that Satan has. So they won't act unless they're called upon to act, and then there's the qualifications, some of which I'm going to discuss today. Okay, we've been talking about for the last 8 weeks, I guess, five, six, or however many weeks, about why God lets Satan exist. And last week we began into the offensive mode, where we go against the devil, where we learn about exercising our authority. And if it sounds like a repeat, it is. You know, I once learned years ago that this magazine company, it was either Time Magazine or Reader's Digest, but they were going to remove all the duplication from the Bible. And so in the process of doing so, they ended up with only 8 pages left. Okay, why? We learn through repetition. Okay, but I notice each time any man of God, if they have preached the same message, the same theme, but it'll come out different. Because one, as time go on and you spend time with God, you learn more than you did the last time. And God gives it to us so that we can chew on what he gives us. And if we do that successfully, then he'll give us more. And that's one of the things you have to remember about dealing with God. If you do not do A, he will not do B. He won't skip. You know, this is what I tell the atheists. You got to go to step one. You can't get this without the Holy Ghost, and you can't get the Holy Ghost without Jesus. There's no, you just can't skip through. You're not going to get the revelation you want. That's what Christian. If God, if your life is if it's not in sync with God, you're going to miss out on a lot. We're going to talk about today revisit seven steps of prayer success. You know, and I've come to watch, you know, certain individuals that they, whatever they do what the word say, whatsoever their hands touch, it prospers. And God gives them big assignments because he can count on them to do what's necessary. You know, it's a standard, you know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you know, 3, 5, and 7, a lot of people quote it, but when it comes down to doing it, becomes a different issue. You know, it reads, in all your ways. Matter of fact, I'm going to read it. Give me a minute here. Matter of fact, I'm going to read it out of the NIV. I'm going to have to get the updated program that I'm using. You know, I like this new age. I really do. People have it so easy. It says in verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make paths straight. Do not, verse 7 is very important, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. My well read 8, this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. You know, I'm very conscious of, I have an expectation of success. And if I don't have it, I want to know why. See, to avoid being what I call a religionist, you know, religion with the word IST on it, where you just do things on a religious basis, but you do not on a daily basis talk to God. You do not on a daily basis read a little bit of his word. One verse, just read something, because God can, he can make a meal out of what we think is a snack. If you don't, that means you're not seeking God's will. Amen. So let's go through this, because that's part of the territory I want to get to, and I want to try to stay with the order, you know. But so we're talking about prayer success, and over time I've run into people that have gave up on Christianity. I met one man that went down a step and became a Muslim. You know, he gave up access to God to a religion that has no access to God to give him a lot of rituals. The rituals that God has not ordered do not impress him at all. It's the same as if you had a job. You know, if you don't do what they require you do some good things, but not what they require you to do, you're not going to receive the attaboy that you think, you know. So in this case, it was. I told him he tried religion. He didn't try Jesus. See, Jesus is a person, and you talk to a person. Now, come on, really, let's be seriously. Who amongst us would talk to a person that never really talks to us? Never. I mean, they don't even say hi. Okay, I assume they don't want to. I'm gonna say hi so many times, but after a while, I'm gonna stop speaking to you. God had these emotions before I did, all right? Now, the first thing I found, and it really was interesting, and I wasn't surprised, because I remember seeing people appear at church, and I assumed that they had joined probably before I had gotten there. Come to find out that they had never made that commitment. They never signed on the dotted line. You know, it's simple prayer, you know, that I pray at the end, that's signing the line. That legally gives God the opportunity to communicate with you. Other than that, when he sent an angel to minister the word to you, and he sent the word, Satan can legally block it. And that's what happened with a lot of people. I'm really wondering how many people in religions have never signed on the line. Think about it. Your parents raised you up in a church. You've been there since you can remember, but you yourself never said, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart." And then you note in your behavior. Think about this. You never think of yourself as a praying person, and think that people that talk about prayer all the time are overly religious. People that talk about the Bible all the time are overly religious to you. People that you know that you think of that, but actually that's a spirit of envy that Satan has tricked you with to try to justify you being powerless. Because when challenges come, you resort to your known methods. God is not the first person you go to. You know, and then a lot of times I've even known people, I know somebody that they had an illness, and I told them, you know, you're talking about something that's going to kill you. I would rather start with God. God wants you to go to the hospital, then you go. See, God will personally, through the Holy Spirit, get directly involved and guide you. He said he would. He said he'd lead and guide you. He keeps his word. I can attest to this by experience. Okay, and I'm not anyone special. You know, I learned this from somebody else. You know, that's what the words say. You know? All right. So the number one thing on an issue, and I'm still seeing this and I'm not surprised, you must have a covenant with God through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. You can't buy it, you can't earn it. You can't declare it unless you do it in a specific manner. And that's so simple. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. You acknowledge God is, okay, Hebrews 11:6, he that cometh God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Okay, you have to do that. Okay, and, you know, that grants you a covenant. I want to read you a little bit here out of the book of Galatians. John 1:12 says, as many as received him. Matter of fact, we'll go with that one too. It says, as many as received him, to them he gave authority to become sons of God. Okay? In other words, your life can become a manifest. God can operate through you. It's John 1:12. That's the scripture that we use when we go out in the street and minister to people for salvation. Okay, that's one of the primary scriptures, because people assume, because they're good people, and I understand that entitles them. This is not a be good thing. And that this all goes back to day one of the training day program based on 1 John 3:2 and how we are made. All that's interconnected, okay? You can't leave all that out. You got to be consciously minded of that. This is some deep stuff, but, you know, if you take it step by step, God is patient, amen, and he will allow you to grow into the understanding. He will minister to you personally so that you will get it. Because we all are different. We think on different levels. And, you know, like I said, this is critical. Because we are rapidly approaching the end of this age. The age of where I'm limited by this flesh. This is what 1 John 3:2, it says, although it does not yet appear when we see Jesus, we shall be as he is. Now, that's a whole different type of character. That's third gen man, as I call it. Okay, all right. Anyway, so I never did get to Luke, did I? Okay, Luke 1:18, it says that Jesus said that men ought to always pray and not faint or not give up. Okay, that's just in case you was listening. But anyway, but in order to pray, you again, there's the legal aspect of this world is in Satan's hand. Luke 4:6, he tells Jesus that it was delivered to him. That happened in the garden when Adam sinned, and Jesus did not refute that, even though Jesus was involved in the very creation of the world and everything in it. That's what it says. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Jesus is the Word. The Word became flesh, John 1:14. Okay, but he did not refute the fact that it was delivered unto Satan. See, again, God has created a race of beings like unto himself. We know about the image of God, but it's the likeness that we're learning to master. The image speaks for itself. I mean, it's, you know, demons know. They know. They know who has power and who does not. Believe me, they know. All right. So you got that now. We're going to read a little bit. It's a long story. There are lots of information on YouTube about covenants, and particularly the Abrahamic covenant, which is still standing today. Amen. We are adopted into that through being reborn through Jesus Christ into the kingdom of God. So, reading in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, it says, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Now note that, by faith in Christ Jesus. If you don't have faith in Christ Jesus, and you have not acknowledged him, this is not talking to you. And people pick up the Bible and read it and say, "Oh, okay, so all I got to do is say I believe." Well, you had to tell him you believe, and you had to tell at least one other person you have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's really just that simple. It's just like signing on the line. You ain't got to, you know. He says, "For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." And people are arguing over that point. Yeah, it is what it is. It says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek." I got to address that. Speaking in tongues does not save you. You have to be saved to speak in tongues. I don't understand how people can get off on that. You know, it don't make you better, higher, stronger, because all quit. It's the difference between two people have a Corvette. One starts the motor, the other one don't. So they both got a Corvette with the motor. If they start the motor, they're still the same car, okay? They ain't no difference in them. That's all it is. One chose to start the motor, that's all. Some of us a little stranger than others, I guess. It says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." The promise is the covenant that God made with Abraham. Yeah, and I don't want to get too far off into that. Like I said, there's a lot of maybe later on. I don't know. I'll just do what I'm told. I didn't pick this message. I had another thought in mind, and the Lord told me to do that on my own time. So, I might have to end it. But bottom line is, God can't answer your prayer if you don't have a relationship. And he set it up like that. Because the whole thing about this life is about submission. Submission, submission. Do it God's way. What you find with people is they want to do it their way. The common thing, again, that I find with atheists, they like to follow the rule of Satan. They don't want to be under God. They don't want somebody telling them what to do. If you don't want God telling you what to do, then you better drink a lot of water. And it ain't going to last as long as you need it to. Because it's going to be hot. Hell exists. Jesus didn't lie. All right? So that was number one. You got to have a covenant with God. Okay? And that brings into play a lot of things. One, when you receive Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. That is a person. Matter of fact, I want you to understand that this is a person. Let's go to Acts chapter 13. Amen. And read in verse 1 and 2. Now, I'm going to just read verse 2 for the sake of time. And it says, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Now, if he's not a person, how do he talk? It's not a robot. This is not nanotechnology. This is a person of God. is a living entity that God, this is what he put in Christian. This is how he guides. This is how he convicts. This is how he directs. Okay? You have him. And if you lean into him, he will teach you the deep things of God. Anything you want to know. He will teach you things that ain't got nothing to do with him. Things that I've learned, you know, I recently had to do some things with my car, and they ain't got nothing to do with God. That's my car. I mean, I could have put it in the shop. He could have charged me, but he taught me how to deal with it. I mean, this car got a computer on the door. I mean, it's a little thing, but it's a computer in the door that can interrupt the way the car processes. And that's just, I'm going to leave that alone. but he didn't have to get involved with that. But he enjoys being a friend. I'm telling you, he will show you something. This is why I know that if you remember, I've said before that one of the ways to receive on your giving is to set up something that God can bless, and the Holy Spirit would do that for you. Because I remember when before they started these homes for daycare services, it was this older sister. She had started daycares and started expanding them before it became popular. I mean, she was probably graduated from school in the eighth grade, but she was a walking Bible. Praying, that was natural for her. And I get that now. I get that now. I mean, it takes a while because, see, that's when you move to walking in righteousness versus being religious. You know, the Lord gave me something about being religious. He said being religious is when you have more control over your life than God does. You don't consult God about anything. People pick jobs. I'm talking about Christians now. They pick jobs and careers without consulting God and waiting on him to answer. They'll ask and want him to answer in 2 minutes. Okay? No. It says wait on the Lord. Okay? This is important because you will get somewhere. This is why some people are dead and sick. In the wrong place at the wrong time. This is why some people are dead and sick. They everything was going. You know, I remember back when I was 25, and I saw this right after I got saved. This was right before I got saved. I started noticing these people, man, their lives was getting good. I mean, they got successful. They had the car. They had the apartment. They had a good job and not a lot of debt. And then they died at a young age. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Now I understand. Satan don't love you at all. At all. At all. He'll kill you any chance he get. And if you out of the will of God, you limit your protection. And if you silent before God, you really limit it. I mean, this thing is deep, I'm telling you. It's deep, but you just have to get it. All right. So, number one, you got to have a covenant. Number two is a biggie. You have to forgive. And with African-Americans, y'all really, you let the slavery thing go. You can't fix it. You can't change it. You can't change the history. There's nothing you can do about it. You know, so what? They were wrong. But guess what? I can actually go back and find documentations of the wrongs that Africans were doing before they ended up in captivity. There's a pattern in the Bible. Israel, the children of Israel, whenever they went into captivity, it was never for doing the right thing. And God gave them years to repent. You keep clowning, God will let the devil have his way. This is why we're talking about this today. This silence that people is having, I'm seeing it is causing destruction. The reason for the floods is silence. The reason for the droughts is silent. The reason for the fires is silent. Whining to God ain't going to get you an answer. God is not, and unless there's a situation where they can say that a man of God or a woman of God went in and went around and told them in advance that judgment was coming, and that they needed to repent, like somebody had told me, a man of God that went to Houston a few years ago, and they kept on clowning, and then that hurricane ran up through there. See, that's a different situation. God never sends judgment without warning. I know that on a personal basis. See, God will let you know before he getting ready to bust that backside. He'll tell you, quit clowning, all right? He understands we flesh, and he created us. He designed us. He knows his product. He knows what he did, all right? So, but like I say, so we have to forgive. Because why? This is what you have to remember. You want access to the power of God. You want your prayers answered. You want your family protected. You want your life blessed. You want instruction and direction from God, okay, because of what's coming. All right? Right now, my wife and I, we had a freezer and it died, and the Lord put on my heart, buy another one. Okay? We're not collecting years of food. Okay? But we collect them. We got a little deep freezer and we're buying stuff, you know, just a little bit. Because I keep hearing, you're not going to have 10 preachers all say the same thing and it's not going to come to pass. I mean, even the, like I say, far as the, like, we know we're in the last days. I have said before time that when we get close to the end, even the liars will tell the truth. Now, I'm not calling St. Francis a liar. He's just a little misguided, but I'll put it like that. But even he says it's the last days. You can check it out on YouTube. The Pope says it's the last days. Now, anytime he's saying it and everybody else saying it, so if they're telling us we're going to have a disruption, and I can see it. I just recently heard that the water levels are so low over in, over in Europe, some places, that the ships can't get to shore. So, see, it's going to be some shaking, and I could give you a list of reasons for that, but the bottom line is it may not affect you, okay? Everything ain't the same, but you want to do as they did in Acts chapter 13, minister to God. That's just singing and praising God. Ephesians 5:18, it says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, filled with the intelligence of God. That's not a feeling. That is not a feeling. People relay. I used to hear people talk about they could feel the presence of the Spirit. Nah, that's the revelation of your mind controlling your central nervous system from a revelation you got from God. The Spirit is not a feeling. Just the revelation that triggers your joy button. Okay, they separate things. All right. Anyway, bottom line is you want direction right now. Now, and whatever comes, ain't gonna last for about 6 months. Okay, and they're not going to the total collapse of the economy will come after the rapture, because things going to be so messed up then, they're going to need to do, and they're setting up for that. They are setting up for that. You know, I see where Congress, some people were mentioning that Congress should be looking at the recent order that President Biden gave about digital, switching to a digital currency. But they ain't gonna do nothing. That thing run, this whole operation, that part of the operation is handled by the devil. And the fact that it was written about 2,000 years ago, you can pray all you want, it ain't gonna stop it. You could delay it. I don't even think you could do that now. You'd have to get at least a third of the body of Christ to pray about it. All right. So you gotta forgive. I mean, that's everything, too, you know, because somebody said something to you that wasn't right. Your wife said something that wasn't right. Let that thing go. The scriptures say, the words say, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't do that, because you have opened the door for attack. How long does it take for an attack? You know, a few weeks ago I had a problem with my car, and apparently something jiggled loose, but it only took a second. It took a second. You know, I really like to think there was a preventative issue, but anyway, you know, I've seen crash. I was watching a crash, and it just happened. Boom, bam. I mean, like something in a movie. You want to be sensitive to God. You want the angels to be able to go out and protect you at all times. Particularly, like I say, you got to be sensitive. You got to. I'm going to say this again. Don't send your kids to school without commanding angels to protect them. Teach kids. They won't forget. Teach them how to pray. Just tell them, say, Lord, let your angels encamp around about me this day. All right? We'll never sit down and break all that down for you, because the word is clear about how they are. And the same principles apply. If I don't forgive, the angels won't work. They watch. You got an angel assigned with you. He don't have a cell phone. They can communicate telepathically. okay, and they get their instructions from heaven. If you're out of order, they stand still. See, so it's a lot of factors. You want to be conscious of that, and the reason for it is because, I don't go to funerals. You got to be a direct member of my family. I'm serious. Because I quit counting. Once it got past 80 people, I'm like, all right, I'm through. I used to stop at 4 people. Now, I'm not going there. I ought to really know you, and all them people that I really knew, I did. I'm not going to say why they did, but anyway. So you gotta do this because, see, we are kings and priests. We're being made. He has made us kings and priests. Think about it. I mean, we got an order. We got a job coming. We are training for this. And if you go back, even right now in Israel, they are training the Levite priests. I mean, they have their family histories, and that's because they're going to perform a role in the future of the reestablishment and the rebuilding of the temple of God. And see, we have to know these things because priests were teachers of the word, and they were intercessors, all right? They serve under the high priest, who served under God, and in their case, they were serving under Moses. But bottom line is, it's a servant position. With the authority with God, it's the same as being like being a police officer. You know, you're a servant of the state, but you have authority. And this is what this is. Now, this order is just that. It'll break the chain of authority. And you don't want to do that. So you got to let things go. One of the scriptures I want to read is Colossians 3:13. Now, I want to go to Ephesians 4:32 because that one burns in my spirit. See, and this is why it is absolutely necessary to read the word. Start with verse 30. Because, I mean, it's a great chapter. All right? Matter of fact, remember I mentioned earlier about don't let the sun go down on your wrath? That's in verse 26. It said, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down on your wrath. Okay? You got to let it go. And see, God understand that, you know, they talk about opposite attract. Duh. If you look at the definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, you'll see why it's the glue that keep them opposites together. Okay? You can go back and reflect on last week's message and you'll hear it some more. All right. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, where you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Man, that's a class by itself. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. For no other reason. You know, oftentimes, I that's the thing that I do. I reach out and remember what God has forgiven me for since I've been saved. And then I apply that. God forgave me. See, that don't mean I agree. God definitely did not agree with what I was doing. Okay? That just means I let it go. Why? To keep the flow going. Okay? It's enough you got to deal with the cause and effect. You don't need something on your mind. Because, again, we're going to be kings and priests over people. Now, I'm of a mind, I know during 1,000 years, that we're going to be interacting. We have been made in the third generation man, which is a man capable of teleporting, telepathic communication, could go from here to heaven in the speed of thought and report to the throne of God and travel to Jerusalem, travel throughout the universe without a vehicle. Okay? That's some tremendous power. I'm telling you, when you put power and speed together, you got something dangerous if it's not under control. All right? But still, you're going to have the survivors of the tribulation. Now, to this date, nobody have shown me where those people have been transitioned into third gen man. Matter of fact, what I see, the fact that they are tried at the end of the 1,000 years, tells me that they're not third-gen man. Now, see, because you'd have to be a total idiot to have come through this life, be made third-gen man, and can be tempted by Satan. It is possible, because you're not going to be God. It's possible, but that's a level of stupid that they don't have a number for. You know, I've seen bricks with most sense. All right. But be ye kind one to another. Why? You got to grasp hold to it and bring it under control, okay? And that's what God expects. See, because it tells him that we can manage power, all right? And behind that, I want to read Colossians 3:13, which reads similarly. The point that I want you to get is that God forgave us. So that right there, it says, put you on, verse 12, it says, put you on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Okay? I mean, that's the thing. You're going to encounter. That's why you got all these varieties of people, of nationalities and mentalities. We're here to learn. Again, Jesus has secured our place in heaven. He said, I'm going to and prepare a place for you. If he had lied, we wouldn't be having this conversation, all right? Because I wouldn't have the Holy Spirit. I would not have changed. And therefore, we wouldn't have known each other. All right? So you got to let it go. You know, think I better let it go. All right. Now, here come another one. You cannot practice what God calls sin. Okay? Psalms 34:15. See, again, you got to remember that Satan knows all this. And he knows that if you get out of the will of God, you know, if you do that which is evil in the Lord's sight, he can come in and attack. He needs an open door, you know. Now, there are those rare occasions. I don't think God is what I call Jobicized. Anybody else, Job is in the book of Job, chapter 1, where God just let Satan go in there. And then again, I don't know. There's some challenges that I see people go through, you know, that they didn't do anything to cause. And also, I have to bring out the fact Job operated at what I would call a prophet-level relationship with God. That's a different, that's not somebody that just began the journey. That's somebody that's been through some things. They were taught, but then they experienced so they could apply what they had been taught and showed themselves to be proficient in utilizing that relationship with God. And understand, he didn't have a Bible like we have, and you know, but he had experience with God. That is why he was successful with God, okay? It says, the eyes, this is Psalm 34:15, and it said, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. It says in verse 17, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. Okay? And then it goes on to read more good things about God. So, but again, you go back and you look at it, this is what Satan, he can't crack your, if you don't find a crack in your armor, he can't penetrate. And that's what he looks for. And then he tried. Look at what he did. He started in the garden. Adam and them had full authority. And then he come out there with a lie, okay, and convinced them to give up, amen, their authority in the garden. And he does the same thing with us. He'll get us to hold on to stuff, not be forgiven. He'll get us to engage in, and you got to be careful these days. I don't agree. See, your emotions have to be challenged by the word of God. If you can't support what you believe by the word, you're in dangerous territory. And I see a lot of this going on now. I stick in alignment with the word. I've never been what I would call a very popular person, so I'm used to not being popular, and I don't care. You ain't feeding me. You're not the source of my existence. You know, you have very little say-so. And I will say what God want me to say, to whom he want me to say it. And it is not always pleasant. But on the flip side of that, you can get with it in Psalm 33, three chapters later in Psalm 37. It says if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Now, I've seen people, because they didn't get the desire, they try to rewrite it or change the definition of it. As though God, this one preacher actually say, God will give you the desire you should have. And no, you can't tell me that God made these new Rolls Royces for sinners. He made those Rolls Royces for me. I just don't have the property for it right now, the space. You know, I barely can get the vehicles I got in there. And in due time, if Jesus don't come back, I will drive one. Not because I want anybody to know. I might have the windows tinted deep, dark black so they can't see me, because this is for my own personal enjoyment. I just happen to like that car. That's only one of them. And I'm going to have all of them. And the key to that is I will fight sin. I will fight. I'll be quiet. I was coming out of Kroger one day, and this man was being a phone head, and then so I pulled on out. And then he looked up. Now he wanted to act like I, you know, disrespected him. I'm going to sit there and wait till he got his mind back together and, you know, tell him people be on Facebook while they driving. I don't get that. It ain't that important. Anyway, so he called me a name. I hadn't heard that name in 40 years. I smiled. And then I really doubled back on the devil and prayed for God to deliver him. Amen. To bless him, because he don't know his life until he repent. Life under a curse. See, Satan likes to get people into that type of situation. Now, don't call what isn't a sin a sin. You know, go by the word. People make sins up. See, some folk is just too holy for me. You know, like me and a brother was at roller skating Sunday, and we was talking about how folk talking about roller skating is a sin, listening to that worldly music. You know, my 1 Timothy 6:17, I believe, said God gave us all things to enjoy. Now, if you can give me another definition of the word all, you know, I don't know. It says all. Now, Paul said all things are speedy, all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. So, it's, you know, that's a step by step. And even at that, you know, if God told me to stop something, I would. If he told me I want you to stop trying to be a drag racer, I would, but he ain't told me that. Some people told me that once, but see, I ain't, you know, that's all to that. So, but see, again, right now is a crucial time. I mean, if you don't believe we're in the last day, you got to go look up disasters. Look at what just happened in Kentucky and West Virginia. That, again, like I said, I know some men of God down there, now, whether or not they listening to them. Now it's going through their mind. Was that too much holiness for you? I don't think so. Yes, we do have authority over the weather, but you can't wait till it get up on you to start praying about it. And to be able to pray about it, you got to be in alignment with the word. That's why we're talking about this. All right? Prayer. Well, we'll get to that later. One more, Psalm 66:18. Then we'll move on. I'm doing good today. Well, I'm just following the lead. Psalms 66:18. All right. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, to help you understand, iniquity is not just sin, but it's something you contemplate and you actually plan on practicing for a while. You know, I can tell you right now, there's no Ku Klux Klan in heaven. Not a one. Not a one. Because you can't practice that type of sin continually and go to heaven. That ain't going to happen. You know, there's no full-time thieves never repentant in heaven. Okay? The Bible says even the liars, okay, shall have their time in the lake of fire. So, you know, I don't expect to see, sadly, too many politicians in heaven. You know, I know one, that dude, man, he prayed up. He literally, I was shocked that you could tell, you know, sometimes when people pray that they know they're talking to God. And I'm like, wow. And I wrote him and said, you need to run for president because I want to see, just like I want to see a pope that's sanctified, I want to see a president that's sanctified, that'll do what God say, how he say, when he say, like Solomon did, and we will get the same result. We'll get the same result. But this just going to make up some stuff like they doing now, going along with the rich, ain't going to work because there are more Christians that meet this standard than ever probably in the history. That's why, see, a lot of the drama going on isn't really what God isn't doing. It's because of what the saints are doing. They're drawing fire because the few that are causing enough drama, and you can't shake them if a storm comes through, wipe their house out, they'll still praise God because they know they're going, just a little bit of time, think about it. Job, I believe I've heard various testimonies that Job's ordeal lasted about anywhere from 6 to 9 months. But he spent the last 2,500 years in bliss. And that ain't going to end. It's going to get better. So, I mean, 9 months, 6 months, that was worth it, so to speak. Because his testimony and experience taught us a lot about how to live this life. See, that we can live this life. Okay, because we ain't went through what Job went through. I know I haven't, you know. Even last year when I broke my hip, I did ask for a miracle. I did. I'm like, oh, do this now. But, amen, this is the thing. Remember we talked about last week. It said, love the Lord your God. Well, you don't really know how much love a person love you till something go wrong. That's when you know. See, everybody love you when it's all right. That's understandable. But when it ain't right, then do they love you? I remember this young man I was working with. He told me his girlfriend left him because he got laid off from his job. I'm like, she showed you, she gave you an opportunity to find the right one because that was definitely the wrong one. Man, back in the day when I got laid off from my job, my wife, I think, was even kinder to me. You know, she showed me more love then. Please, man, please. That's when it really matters the most, and that keeps you going. And God the same way. You keep going, he'll keep you going. If you keep going, he will keep you going. I mean, God, I'm telling you, saints, you miss something when you don't take time out to praise God for just a few minutes on your own every day. Just pick a day, time of day. Just stop and thank him. Don't go every day without talking to God. He got feelings with God. You're the only one. You are the only one. I mean, you may think because there's billions of us, but God, you are the only one. All right? The bottom line is sin costs you. It ain't ever going to benefit you. I mean, you know, it's a lot of reason for that. I could spend a whole day teaching on that one thing, and I'm not going to get through with this, but I'm going to start this part here. You, particularly presently right now, you must control your mouth. You carry a lot of power. I listened to somebody. You might as well, this person I was talking to, an anointed person. And I told them in the past, they don't realize how much power they carry. They watch. I was pointing out things that God did in their lives. Bless them, and how powerful what they say, and when they speak a word, it come to pass, and yet they let some little old silly stuff upset them, and I'm just confounded. I'm like, why? They don't, you, oh, this is the part. Let me tell you something. If you're going to serve God, you're going to be committed to God, you're going to do what you're supposed to do, and you're going to pray. Satan coming after you, because when you pray, you are overthrowing him. When you pray, it's like you dropping bombs on his handiwork. When you pray, you're causing problems for him. Because, see, he knows there's a chain reaction. Your success is going to want, make somebody else's success. And that he don't want to happen. So don't be surprised. As James said, think it not strange, okay, when you have to endure diverse or many temptations, okay? Yeah, it's going to cut us part of the territory. This ain't heaven. We're going there, but this ain't it, you know. And but you got to control what's coming out of your mouth. I want to start with Proverbs chapter 6, because you're already familiar with Mark. I want you to chew on this because it's really critical. But that just shows you the continuity of this throughout history. Remember, when this was written, there was no Bible, but there's still with the relationship with God, and which is how the Bible was written. You know, man didn't just come up with it. I can tell you that. There's some things in the Bible men would have left out. Now, it starts out, it says, these 16 does the Lord hate. Yay. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. I'm a good man. You got to be careful. Satan has 6,000 years of planning and plotting, and he is good at psychological warfare, okay? And you got to, I'm going to reread this in the NIV, and it says, these are 16 the Lord hates. Seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, hard to devise of wicked schemes. Devise, that means you ponder it. Feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension amongst the brethren. And it's man of God, I'm going to call him that. I distinguish man of God and preachers. Anybody can preach, but a man of God is I believe, makes an effort to be close to God. But he produced this video. I didn't watch it because the title was Are Catholics Saved? You know, if I believe that, there's nothing that gets me out of the, there's no word in the Bible that takes me from the responsibility of praying for them. Because I had to pray for the sinner. I mean, we've been appointed to the royal priesthood, which means God looks for us to intercede for those that are in need, both saved and unsaved. So to me, I would wrap the pastor I'm under now. One of the first things I picked up on him was building faith of anybody that had a little, rather than finding fault with what they don't know or believe. Because God, ultimately, with our intercession, he's able to minister to them the spirit of wisdom. That is the intelligence of God's wisdom. That means God has to, because we all think on different levels, and we've all had many different types of experiences, so therefore how we receive information is going to be different. And there's a lot, you know, you have to consider the fact that God that God, you have to consider the fact that God, like I said, he designed love in that manner. If you read, you go and read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 through 8, it covers that. It covers that. See, so I don't have to be, it tells me that I'm supposed to think in the terms of love. What does God do and what would Jesus do? Now, yeah, some people get on Jesus. I know the Pharisees got on Jesus' nerve, okay? But at the same time, there was one Pharisee, Nicodemus, that he was in pursuit of Jesus. He came to Jesus. I mean, he had a revelation of who Jesus was. So you can't, throw the baby out with the bathwater. We should always be against Satan when he's attacking the body of Christ. There's another issue. I mean, if we see, you're going to see this in the last days, okay? You're going to see, I may have told you last time, a man had a prophetic dream that the leadership was going to come under attack. Why? Because boxers, you know, boxers know if they hit your head, they can disorient your body. They get, you know, they got to hit, you got to go after the head. So I'm not surprised by anything that would happen with leadership. But again, we have the responsibility, and the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 6 that we are to restore such a one. If a brother is taken in a fault, restore such a one, lest you also. It could happen to you. All it takes is a number of demonic activity beyond the norm to attack you, and your righteousness will go out the window. You know, I remember this man of God. I watched this battle go on. There was another man of God that got strayed away. And rather than speak supportively of him, rather than gather around him and pray for him, they found fault with him as though they was glad that he finally fell, and then he turned around and fell too. Matter of fact, he fell on one of the very things that he condemned, in relationship with women outside of marriage. See, and you know, I mean, he was right, but he was wrong. So that's all it took. And then he ended up with his ministry gone. You know, that's what it says also in Galatians. You reap what you sow, so be careful what you sow. All right, so we covered most of that. You know, we halfway through it. And like I say, we're building a defense against the devil because he does exist and God let him exist. Okay? Got to keep that in mind. If God let him exist, there's a purpose. But that's because your spirit, you are a spirit with a mind, will, and emotion, and you live in a body, and you are being taught to be an eternal being under the leadership in the kingdom of God. Okay? All right, so maybe it's the first time you heard this. Amen. It may be before the rapture, after the rapture. We are down to the seconds. We're down to the milliseconds. It could be any moment. I mean, I'm surprised as each day comes. But anyway, they taught us that it's the ABCs. You got to acknowledge, believe, amen, and call upon the name of the Lord. And so we're going to do that. Just say, Lord God, I believe Jesus is your son. I believe he died for me, and I buried my sins, and I believe that he rose from the dead and is alive right now. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and to save me now. And Lord God, I ask for forgiveness, and I believe I receive it, and I say with my mouth, and I believe in my heart that I am saved. Amen. That's amazing how simple that is. Amen. But anyway, remember this. Prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom. See you next week.
Give us the
truth.
Part 2.
Part two.
Give us the truth. Huh.
For every email, for every phone call, for everybody that came.
famous to me at a show. Here's part two. Listen,
yo. After the Platinum Souls tour, I deal with Cross Movement. I said my goodbyes cause I had to fly back to St. Louis. I left the tour early for my first semester in school. I was exposed to so much truth that I had to do.
So much
between what I had learned and what I was taught to do. In my church on my zone, I was so confused. The first Sunday morning back, it was like culture shock.
What?
Watching the shepherd and sheep explode like a soda pop. That heaven's shaking, they shaking over these sighty sermons. People spitting and shouting, but nobody's discerning. I left the building, my feelings were crushed, I felt forsaken. The one place I was supposed to come for restoration. In worship of a holy God and exalt him in praises. Spent the whole prayer time rebuking the Satan. Spent the whole sermon time just talking about money. While I was dying inside, spiritually hungry. That's what we need if we gon' properly teach. If we gon' seek, then we gon' properly reach. Yeah, that's what we need if we gon' carry our cross. If we gon' effectively disciple the Lord. That's what we need if we gon' walk up in holiness and boldness and meek and loneliness. That's what we need in this race we running. Proper lessons as we wait for his second coming. Listen,
I left the crib, moved into the dorms. So depressed that I ventured in porn. It was a crazy thing. I felt the disconnect from Jesus' arms. So I ceased to write these rhythms and poems to disobey the king.
Reality.
I told my teachers that I was living in sin. In my Bible, I'd never read it again. And threw it in the closet.
I did.
And anything that had to do with God, Marcus T, he was doing the opposite in the lifestyle. I called Fanatic and Tonic on the cell. And said for ministry that I was going to jail. Because I was in no position to minister to anybody at all. Because I wasn't sure if I was a Christian at that moment, dog. I started skipping classes, hanging with the masses. And my days were black and gray like cigarette ashes. All I know is that I wanted to die. But suicide meant me and the guy that I thought mistook me.
That's what we need if we don't properly teach. If we don't seek, then we don't properly reach.
Yeah.
That's what we need if we don't carry our cross. If we don't effectively disciple the Lord.
Service a cat named Paul Washer, preached the gospel and drove me onto the Lord's altar. And I confessed my sin and he pressed reset again. I started over and felt like a soldier for Jehovah.
Yahweh.
I called my old pastor and apologized for how I behaved.
Sorry,
but as of that day, we agreed to go our separate ways. I met this girl named Beth who told me about a church home.
Okay.
First I visited, became a member, and then it was on. Then the pastor gave me a stack of books
to read.
Now I'm back with rap. $300 on tapes and books and learn from these biblical scholars. Yeah, now I'm back and I'm walking in light, living my life, glorifying Jesus in Christ.
That's what we need if we don't properly teach. If we don't seek, then we don't properly reach.
Yeah,
that's what we need if we don't carry our cross. If we don't effectively disciple the Lord.
It's so true.